very special schus always to address such a chashuv group. Freshmen sometimes look down upon kids. Look at you, see the potential of the next door of Klal Yisrael. So I hope that when you look in the mirror, that's what you see also. It's never who you are right now, it's who you're going to become. It's very important. A number of years ago, a lady came over to me and she asked me, there's Avraham, there's Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov. And you know how people talk in the colloquial without fully appreciating how incredibly great these avos were. Shlosha nikru avos, there are only three. So she says in her way, I don't think she meant any harm, just the way she speaks. She says, I have no problem with Avraham. He's a great man, he did a lot of wonderful things, he takes risks with his life. I have no problem with Yitzchak. Yitzchak goes to the Akedah willingly, and he leads a very, very special kind of existence. Yaakov, I have a problem with Yaakov. We Jews are taught to be honest, to be forthright. And frankly, when I read the Torah and I look at what Yaakov does to his brother Esau, to be frank with you, Rabbi, and I mean no disrespect, she says to me, I'm with Esau. So I said, why are you with Esau? Here's this poor fellow, he's coming back from the field, exhausted. It seems to me, she says, that Yaakov took advantage of the moment and of Esau's weakness and actually stole from him. But what does it mean to pay for the bechorah with him? With what? With a bowl of soup? With a nezid adoshim, you pay for the bechorah? For the rights of the firstborn? Which involves all sorts of things. And it was a very big deal, especially in those days. I don't know how many of you are Bechorim, and I don't know what it means for you. But in those days, it was a big deal. And he says to him, Halitei nomina adom ha'adom hazeh, and Esau says to Yaakov, please give me a little bit of this porridge. This is all the lady's telling me. And she's getting very dramatic. She says, please, he says, Esau, give me a little bit of that porridge. And Yaakov sees the opportunity and seizes the opportunity to trick him and to cheat him. And he says, you know what? I'll give it to you, but on one condition. You sell me the bechorah. Nichra kayomes bechorasa chali. And Esau, the poor fellow, he's dying. He nailed al pi olech lamutz. Malamas ali bechorah. Then, you can always forgive, she says, one episode. But two episodes? He dresses up to trick his own father. His own father. The great tzaddik is blind. And he takes advantage of it. And then she says, frankly, I don't give too much for Rivka either. What kind of wife is that? And she takes him and she dresses him up. And he doesn't say it's not right. He said, "Ulai yumusheni ohi v'ha'yisi be'enov kimisa'ateya." Maybe my father will touch my skin because he can't see. So what's he going to do? He'll test it. It's really Esau. Esau was very airy. So he'll test. Maybe it's not his. So what does he do? He doesn't say, "And it's wrong to fool my father." Or if my father finds out, he's going to be so upset, so disappointed. He says, "Behaves like Kamala below Baruch, and you will bring upon me not a blessing but a curse." He's worried about himself. He says, "He's just worried about himself." And then the great tzaddik, the third of the other. supposed to be, he comes to his father, and he completes the charade, and when his father asks him, who are you? Because he was surprised that he came back so quickly. Well, he didn't come back at all, because it wasn't Esau who was in the field. It was Yaakov. So what does Yaakov answer? Anochi Esau b'charecha! Now, if that's not a lie, she says, what is? So what did I tell her? What would you tell her? I want to read to you a line from the Rambam. If I remember what it is. One line. Rambam, in the last words of Hilchos Sechirus, which is in Sefer Mishpatim, and I would strongly suggest that when you go home or wherever you are on Shabbos, you should open up this Rambam together with your father or your brother or whoever it is that learns with you, and repeat this Rambam and learn it again together with that person, or with your brother, or with anyone. Because this is a Rambam that is worth reading over and over and over again, all life long. The Rambam says as follows: "Kederach shemuzhar bal habayis shelo yigzo schar oni v'lo ya'akven." The Rambam has just taught us all the halachos of what it means not to hold back the wages of the poor worker. You got it? There's a fellow that's working for me. I'm not supposed to cheat him, of course. I'm not cheating him. It's just when he comes for his money at the end of the week, I say, you know what? I'm a little short on cash today. I would like you to wait till next week and then put you up another week and another week. Rambam says, no. You're not allowed to cheat me on me. You're not allowed to steal from me. You're not even allowed to hold back his wages. But what about the money? What about the worker, says the Rambam? Does he have any obligations? Well, yeah, of course he has to do the job. What does it mean to do the job? So listen to this. Kaka oni muzar shelo yigzol meleches balabais. Just like the boss has rules and halachas, the worker also has rules, even if he's poor. What are his rules? He's not allowed to cheat the balabais on the time of the work. He decides that it's time to go make a call to his wife, to his mother, to his cousin, to his uncle. So he goes out and takes a break. It's not time to take a break. He decides that lunch is a little too short. They agree on an hour. He wants an hour and a half. He wants to go shopping. So does he ask the balabas permission? Of course not. He says, I work hard enough. And he goes out and he works a little less here, a little less there. He takes advantage here, he takes advantage there. He relaxes a little bit too much, which he doesn't have to. He takes an hour for mincha when he was given 10 minutes. The Rambam says, "Umotzi kol hayom b'mirma." It turns out that the entire day he's just cheating his boss. The whole day is a big cheat. Because even when he's working, he's trying to finagle him to figure out when can he get out, when can he get away, how he can do a little bit less. Ella, what is his obligation? Chayov ledaktek al atzmo is man. He has to watch every second that he's obligated. And he's obligated. Every second. Listen to this. In the time of the Gemara, they had an astonishing halacha that does not apply today. It was about Birkas HaMazon. Who knows that halacha? No. About who? I'm talking about workers. was attached later. The fourth rung. Have any of you benched lately? How long did it take? You don't have to worry. We're not checking your scissors.
5-6 minutes.
I thought I made it.
I thought I made it itself.
How long did it take? A minute. That's pretty good. I've done it in 30 seconds. Hatoba Meitiv, 1 minute. Now let me ask you. The Chachamim are busy with all kinds of legislation, and they have a lot of Torah to learn. You think that for 1 minute's time, it's worth making a Takana? All right, one second. We will answer that question, and we will say that in those days, they had such reverence for Birkas HaMazon that it took not 1 minute, but 3 minutes. How long can it take? We're talking about workers. We're not talking about the family of adults. How long did it take those workers to say Hatovah HaMeitiv? Maximum, 3 minutes. I don't know who has said Hatovah HaMeitiv. I don't know anyone that says Hatovah HaMeitiv takes 3 minutes. But let's say there is such a person. Someone making legislation that a worker shouldn't be mabatu for 3 minutes of his day. What's the answer? The answer is yes. That's exactly the answer. And even 1 minute. They took away the Hatovah HaMeitiv, which was a special takana for Harugei Beit HaMikdash, to show Hashem that we have Hakaras HaTov even in the worst moments of our lives. If anything good happens, we attribute it to Hashem and we thank Hashem for it. It's a tremendous bracha and it's an important lesson. Because not only do things go so good, and then we say, Hashem, what are you doing to me? And here were these Romans destroying everything and killing thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. The rivers were running with blood and they were zoga finally to what? Peace and tranquility? Absolutely not. One thing. The bodies did not rot before they allowed them to bury them, and finally they relented and they allowed them to bury them dead. Big deal. Said Chachamim, yes, it's a big deal. We want you to thank Hashem. That's such an incredible bracha, Hatovah HaMeitiv. So could you imagine, they said, this Hatovah HaMeitiv, it's only been Rabbanan. But, oh well, you have to work for the Baal HaBayis. Never mind. It's only 1 minute, or 2 minutes, or 3 minutes. Because every second you have an obligation. And every second that you take away from the Baal HaBayis, you're stealing from the Baal HaBayis. It's unbelievable. Today, no Baal HaBayis is so active, so they were mabakal this halacha. They said it's not necessary. But a Baal HaBayis is not active for the minute of Hatovah HaMeitiv, for the 30 seconds. But a Baal HaBayis is not mabakal everything. Does a Baal HaBayis say to workers, you can go make a cell phone call whenever he wants? So the Baal HaBayis said that you can drop everything and just attend to your shopping? So the Rambam says, look how careful the Chachamim were. Shari Hidu al Brocha Revita Shobikas HaMozo Shalom Yivorei Chosom. Now he says, what about besides time? What about energy? What about effort? What about devotion? Dedication? Ever work? You guys ever work? You know, there's a way of working, there's a way of helping. What's the right way of work? With your feet up on the desk and your eyes closed. That's what most people would tell you, as long as you can get away with it. What is the halacha say is the right way? What's the measure? You have 100% energy, 100% capacity, 100% strength. How much percentage is the right way? 100%. Do you imagine that? A worker is obligated to give 100%. How do you know that? Rambam says, this is the last line. That's the line that I want you to remember. How does he know that he has to work for Kol Kofo? Where does it say? Shari Yaakov Hatzadik Omar. You hear? Who is our example of the most honest, the most integrity, the most perfection, the most absolute of measures of how you work. Who is that? Aragon of Virtue. Agatha Levine, our good friend Agatha Levine, that she has so much trouble with, turns out to be the ultimate example of honest leadership. How do we know that Yaakov Avinu is that model? Sha'arei Yaakov at Sadiq Omar, he was called Kofi of Adati Asadiq. When he was talking to his wives, the daughters of Bobar, and he was speaking about how long and cheated him and cheated him and cheated him and cheated him. What was Yaakov's response? Never did I say, you're going to cheat me, I'll show you. But instead, I stayed up all night in the cold. I stayed up all day in the heat. I watched every single one of those sheep, and I worked my head off the whole kofi of Adatiya Sabita. Because, says the Rambam at the end of this halakha, Nato Schar Zos Abba Olam Hazeh. He says, you know what Hashem rewards such a worker? They think he's a patsy, he's a fool. The boss is going to take advantage of him. Look at that jerk. He works honestly. He works with total integrity. What does he have for me? A couple of dollars. Yaakov became in spite of love. You know, in spite of love, he became very wealthy. So you look at a rabbi like this, and you throw up your hands and you say, okay, the rabbi said it. The motto is Yaakov Avinu, for honesty, for integrity, for absolute commitment to the job. No havanah of cheating and fooling and lying and swindling. No treachery. The treacherous one is loved one. And how does he repay the treachery? With even more honesty and even more integrity. Yaakov turns out to be, let's look at the other, Avraham Midas. What is that? Avraham Midas. Hesed. Yitzchak Midas. Gevura. Yaakov. Yaakov is MS. So let's go back to the lady. How do you explain it? Okay, let me say it in my words. Let's see if you can hear me say it.
He wasn't lying when he was saying the Quran. He was really, it was more because he sold it to him.
Interesting. That's so what about the Quran itself? How do you get the name of the Quran that is told you God? So Chazal told us all sorts of things. I just want to tell you one. In some of the teachers, and some of you may become teachers, it's always good to have a good mashal, a good example of your life. I have a very good example. There's a guy who's a drunk. He's a drunk. He's a shikar. He drinks all the time. What we call today alcohol. He goes to the bar, he goes home, he goes to the party, he goes home, and he lives in the suburbs, and it's all far away. It's not across the street, in Manhattan. Now how does he get there? How does he get there? He drives. Three quarters of the time that he drives, he's inebriated. He should go. His wife, father, his friend, it's his partner. What's the biggest partner in business? His partner says to him, I have this terrific deal. Somebody wanted me to join him on a deal. And he describes the deal. It's really interesting. Chance to miss a lot of money. Says to him, you know what? Give me the keys to the car. Give me the car and the keys to the car and the driver's license. Now let me in on the deal. Guy's so excited about the deal that he described. And he does it. He says, yeah, what's that? Maybe I'll get another car someday. Gives him the keys to the car, sells him the car, gives him a gift, writes down on the back of the, what's that called? friend says to him the next day, you know, the deal, well, turned out to be we made a couple of dollars. We made $10. And the trick here is that he knew all along that there was no deal. He was just fooling the sheep of friend, the sheep of partner. Come to the judge. You're the judge. It's not a judge in the court. It's a judge, a moral judge. How do you judge him? Good guy, he's a bad guy, he's a thief, he's a crook, he's a baloney. And now he has the car and he has the keys. For $10. What do you say? I don't think anybody would suggest that if he would ask him for the keys, honestly and truly, he would give away his keys. Don't drink a lot. Don't worry. I know how to manage my liquor. I never had an accident in my life. So what do you say? His friend did right or he did wrong? There's no question about it. Now let's take the Bechorim. What is the Bechorim in the hands of Esau worse than a car in the hands of an alcoholic? He has a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what does he do? He violates every single fundamental aveirah. The example that he's supposed to be, he lies and cheats his father at every turn, turning himself into a good tzaddik, but the exact opposite is true. He's not good ben adam la'malchum, he's not good ben adam la'aveirah. He's a rasha, a banner of the basket. And a rotzei. That is a Bechorah. He has in his hands much worse than the keys to a car. He has in his hands a treasure that he's going to ruin, debase, he's going to destroy its reputation and its value. Now, Yaakov sees an opportunity to relieve him of the keys to the car. What about the drone? Yitzchak wants Esau to have it. Wow. Anyone know why? Like what suddenly got into Yitzchak's idea? An idea that he should give him the brother. What do you say? Yeah. If you give a person a bracha, you say, this brother comes from Hashem. You're good to Hashem, Hashem will be good to you. Keep him close to that brother. You think all the shefa, all your hatzlach of Olam Hazeh comes from Hashem. And what a good thing. Just going to give him a lot of power. And what's he going to do with that power? He will use it in every possible negative way. And especially to her womb. So she says, I cannot take it away from Esau directly. I've discussed this, I've argued it. But I know that Yitzchak is the opinion that he is. But I know that I'm right. She has a levuah. So she goes to her son. And what happens with her son? He says, I can't have this. She says, you have no choice. Because the future of Klal Yisrael depends on it. The future of Klal Yisrael. Somebody makes the mistake of thinking that a certain fellow is a very nice guy. And so he gives him a man in bottles of presents. Yeah. Then that gives him the analog. He teaches him the technology to make it happen. Turns out, what do you give him technology to do? Peaceful nuclear reactors to make electricity. The trouble is that that guy who gets this, his name is Amanachar. He's sweet talking. Everybody around him, we need to build, we need to, and you're going to get a lot of oil in exchange. It's full of oil. Iran is full of oil. little Mission Impossible. You gotta go in, make believe you're a money guy, dress up like him, put on a mask, you go into the trailer, you fool around with all that makeup, you come out looking just like a money guy. You go into the doctor, you say, here I am, he gives you all of that material, you go and you dispose of it. Or you use it for your own purposes. And protect yourself against this monster. Right or wrong? Try diplomatic means. Now, Rivka knows there's no such thing as diplomatic means. And she knows that if he gets his hands on this atomic energy, I believe you, the bracha on the hands of the energy is worse than an atomic bomb. Is it true? It's those bracha. What do? You go to the trailer and dress up in the hairy clothes. You come out looking like an ace. You know what Rashi tells us, what the Mephoshim tells us? He said, Amelfi, Kama, Asa, the Torah. Why did he pause after Amelfi? He didn't want to. A man is lying through his teeth for the best of reasons. He's dressing up, and he's lying in his dress. He's lying in his words. Why does he say Amelfi? Pause, Asa, the Torah. Because he doesn't want to corrupt himself. He knows he has to lie. But he doesn't want to be a liar. So even in the lie, he protects his integrity. He needed to take the Bechorah, because the Bechorah in the hands of an Esau is a travesty. He needed to get the Bracha, because the Bracha in the hands of an Esau is a disaster for the whole world. But whatever he is, not protecting Hashem, what was his behavior like? Who do you go to? What is the example? Love. How did he behave with love? Love is not holding an atom bomb. Love doesn't have the Bechorah. Love is just a mean and miserable boss who lies, cheats, and swindles. How do you react? Whenever you think about Yaakov Avinu, what do you have to think about? Whenever you do a job, it's the one day mowing somebody's lawn. It's getting late. There's one corner that's not done. Who's going to have notice? He pays you for mowing the whole lawn. He pays you for cleaning all the snow. I've seen people who have to deliver these little, not these things, what are they called? Oh, those flyers, you know. The advertisements. They're tired. They delivered 100 advertisements. What do they do with the rest of them? Can't bring them back. Means you didn't do your job. What do they do with that? Throw them in the garbage. They open up somebody's trash can, throw the rest of them in, close the lid. Who's that man for? And then someday you have a real job. You have a 9-to-5. Someday you'll become a surgeon. It turns out that you forgot something inside the body of the person that you healed. Nobody's ever been enough. You never heard it. It has to be aware of it. You didn't tell them. You go back to that round of Yaakov Avinu. Call the folks to your husband. Doesn't matter what the chances are for your reputation, honesty, and money. I give you 100 examples. You can make up the examples yourselves. That is the model of it. That is the now you think it's easy. Wait till you get into the world of business. Because you know what's going to happen? Everybody around you is going to be different. And everybody around you is going to say it's a dog-eat-dog world. And everybody around you is going to say everybody does it. And everybody around you is going to say everybody takes advantage. And everybody is going to say if you don't cheat the swindle, you'll never get to the top. Just make sure that nobody knows about it. Honest work? That's not how you get to the top. It's by pissing you know what of all the people that are on top of you. That's how you get there. Not God's work. And every day you're going to have a nisayon of one form or another. We all do. Even a Rebbe. A Rebbe has to prepare a shiur. He's tired. Had a rough day.
said, you know, my voice said, I was tired. Today's Saturday, I'm getting to stuff. Today's Saturday, I'm getting back to the institution. Really is that. Yaakov Avinu's level, it's a long way to go. And the woman treasures is still fine. To reach that level, what do we do?